Welcome to Karen's Couch. Thank you so much for joining us here today. What an honour when I invite our next guest to the couch. Now, you may remember this particular guest. We had him on the show earlier in the year when we were talking about the differences between men and women in relationships. We had the amazing Guy Vickers join us, where we started to talk about what's really the difference between maintaining a really healthy relationship and what's it like from a guy's point of view and what's it like from a woman's point of view. Now, we had a question come in, and it's a very specific question that came in from a lady by the name of Heidi. Now, Heidi asked us, what's it really like for men when women have children? How does it actually change the relationship? So who better to get on the show to answer our questions than Guy? So please help me welcome to Karen's Couch today. Fabulous, amazing, experienced. What is it now, Guy? It's 20 years experience of counselling men and women on relationships?
Yes, it is, Karen. Yeah, but it doesn't feel that long. When you say it that way, it sounds like an ancient man, and maybe I am, but I like to delude myself, but I'm not. But anyway.
Well, you know what I was going to say? You don't look old enough to have been doing this for 20 years. You look far too young, my friend. So welcome to the couch. Thanks for joining us.
Thank you.
Guy, great. The question that we've had from Heidi is, what's it really like for men when women have babies? And I wanted to ask you a couple of questions around that, because I think it's pretty, you know, obvious for women when they decide that they want to have children, they want to have children, and that's, you know, that becomes fairly obvious. But for men, do they really want to have kids? I mean, do they actually have that same, I don't know if it's maternal or paternal, but do they have that same pang to create offspring and procreate, or do they do it to keep us happy?
If they do it to keep you happy, I'd strongly advise them against it, because it's such a tough period in life. It's such a great experience and it's such a tough experience. But, yeah, my experience is that with men, a lot of men get, I don't know whether this word fits, I don't know whether it's maternalness or paternalness, but certainly men get clucky. You know, they start to want children and they want to take their relationship to the next step. And particularly where a couple's committed to each other and they've decided to get married, there is that very strong kind of obvious next step, you know, and the fact that a lot of men can balk at children is not necessarily that they don't want them, but they may not know, you know, what the future holds, and that they can sort of be off-putting, and they realise sort of at some level in the back of their mind that this is going to be life-changing, and are they ready for that? So I guess generally my experience is, depending on the couple, and often women are the ones that walk too, that I see that they're not ready, and the husband may want children and they recognise that there's a biological imperative. But men need the space to talk about what's going to happen between us when we do this, and that then reduces the anxiety around it and enables them to think more clearly about, you know, do we do it or don't we?
So when the baby actually arrives, I think that, you know, you never really know what it's going to be like until it actually happens, you know, because people don't often talk about the hardships that go with their children. They just talk about the magic of it. You know, some people will talk about it, but it's tend to be spoken more in jest than actual beware. So what actually happens for men when the baby arrives? How does that affect their relationship to themselves, to the child, and to their wife or partner?
It's a really, really good question, and we all need to be talking more in order really to help families stay together, because it's such a disruptive part of life. People aren't prepared for the changes that happen. They think that they're, not just men but women as well, tend to think if we're having a baby, we'll bring this baby into our lives. But what couples tend not to be prepared so much for is that the baby actually comes between them. You know, and so that's the bit that they're not prepared for is, well, how do I get close to you again, and when are we going to relate again, and when are we going to have dinner again, and when are we going to go and do the fun things that we used to do, when mostly, especially in the early days, the mother's so preoccupied, so focused with the changes to her, the hormonal changes, the exhaustion, learning how to breastfeed, all of that kind of stuff. And the men sort of have this natural tendency to find themselves sort of being pushed a little bit out of the picture and being much more in a kind of a utility role. you know, do the shopping, make sure there's nappies in the house, clean the house, those kinds of things. And most men are really willing to get into that, but it's kind of separating, it's sort of separated somewhat from the mother and child in some respects.
That's got to be really hard. You know, like, that's got to be really challenging from a male point of view, because I can imagine that the woman is really consumed by the child. And I don't have kids, so that's why I say I imagine. But I would imagine that she would be really consumed by the child, and it would almost be, you know, and I get this, that the man becomes more, you know, utilitarian, that he's actually there to do something to make the home stay together. But that would be quite tough, because he's gone from having a lover to a mother of somebody else, or of another child, or of his own child, obviously. But he's gone from a lover to a mother. Does it change? Does it change the way he sees her?
I think it does. And look, we're generalising today, obviously, so I'm making kind of general comments that nothing's ever just one way or the other. But I think generally the men that I speak to who have become dads in the groups that I run and that kind of thing, they're really they have a newfound respect and pride for the mother of their child, because in most cases men these days are present at the birth and they see kind of this whole thing happening. It's a very, very moving experience for a man to actually watch this whole process unfold. And so, of course it changes, and it moves away from being just the two of us to the three of us. And that's the bit that, whilst it's really obvious at one level, at an emotional level, people aren't really prepared for that. The mother's energy and focus, of course, is on trying to learn about her baby, trying to understand what it's asking for, just trying to get some rest and snatch some sleep if she can. And the father's kind of often on the sidelines, really wanting to be involved, really wanting to help as best he can, but not necessarily knowing what that is. So we're talking about very practical elements where the father comes in, but emotionally, he can have a lot of feeling towards his wife, but they're not necessarily connecting emotionally. They're just too absorbed in looking after the baby.
So what's the solution to that? Because, you know, I can see that kind of problem in a relationship is fraught with danger, where, you know, that there becomes that disconnection. And I've even had some people that I've known, and a very dear friend of mine, who was in a situation where they really didn't know how to cope with that, and they landed up being in a situation where he'd gone off to have an affair because he felt completely isolated, disconnected, and completely removed from something he felt he'd created. But, of course, you know, to go and have an affair, that's really extreme, and now you're putting a whole other question mark on the relationship, and trust is in there. I mean, this is, it feels like it's quite fraught with danger. What's the answer?
Look, I think part of the answer is what you and I are doing right now, and that's bringing it up to people's awareness more, so that when they have children, they can look out and see that there are signs and signals. Whereas I think in the past, and especially if we go back a generation or two, there was just no discussion around this and where the men... So he'd just sort of go to work and left to that, and there'd be no sort of attention at home between the two of them. Now we're talking about it, and that's the big thing. And, of course, the next step of talking is to get together and be able to talk. And this is where it's difficult, because so much energy goes into the baby, especially when it's new. And probably this kind of conversation wouldn't happen for, you know, many weeks, if not months, after the child's born, when the changes start to be more obvious, because both sides are just too busy to even kind of do that. But to be able to have some space, and it doesn't necessarily need to be long, but just to talk about, you know, where are you and I? How are we going? And find out from the wife or partner, what does she need? What's her experiences? She may be so immersed in the child that she may need to have sort of to be prodded a little bit to ask the question. She may not even thought of it. She go, oh yeah, we really haven't sort of sat down and spent any time with each other, have we? You know, let's do that. So she might be quite open to it. She just hasn't had the space to think about it. So it's up to the man to come forward and let his partner, let his wife know what's actually happening for him, so that it can be addressed.
So what sort of problems do men incur? Like, what sort of things are happening for him? What can, you know, what's going on for them in terms of their ability to be able to fit in? What are they feeling?
Look, in some ways it's about identity. you know, the couple's gotten together and they've decided to get married, and that sort of progression's going along really well, and maybe they've bought a property, all of those kinds of things where you build a life together are happening. And so now I'm taking on my identity as a father. And beyond just thinking about, oh, yes, I'm becoming a dad, probably most men don't think of it as an identity. They don't actually think of it that this is a whole new role, it's a whole new way of living. How do I adjust my work to fit in with being a father? What people typically try and do, men and women, is just try and squeeze more out of the day. And that's okay for a very short term, but of course it's exhausting and not a sustainable thing. So you have to think about, okay, how are we going to manage this? And so in a practical sense, the couple needs to talk about that too. And, you know, what's it like being a dad? And when I'm talking to men, I often ask them, you know, because it's a really critical time. We tend to think about the families that we grew up in, what's known as the family of origin. And I then think, well, what was my dad like to me? What was it like for me being a kid? And all of that's part of an important conversation to have on how do I become a dad? How do I become the best dad? And what do I aspire to as a dad and as a partner? And often very traditional sort of thinking emerges at that point. You sort of, well, I provide, I go to work, that's all really good. But what's the connection stuff? What's the relationship stuff that goes on?
You know, I often wonder, for men, I think it's a big responsibility when kids come onto the scene, because, you know, I tend to think that perhaps that whole provider instinct is built in. And I wonder how that is for men, you know, to think that now that they've got this big responsibility, because generally, you know, the wife doesn't work for a period of time while, you know, the baby's new. But how does that feel for guys, like to shoulder that additional responsibility? Does that make them feel like, yeah, this is what I was born for? Or is that in today's society almost too much pressure?
I don't know that it's too much pressure in one sense. I think just in that sort of very personal sense, it's not too much. And I think that most men like rising to that challenge, to be honest with you. And it is important that women acknowledge that, yeah, you are shouldering different things right now. You know, most couples, again, these days go from double income down to single income, but they've got more people and more expenses. So it then becomes really important. Then you think about the sort of the commercial environment and job security and things like that. So, again, especially in the groups that I run for first-time dads, we talk a lot about exactly those things of how, you know, what about work, what about the future, what about schools, all of that kind of stuff. So yes, I think about that. The importance, again, here is that the couple talk about it together. What you don't want is the man going off on his own, making decisions because somehow he can't have the space or to talk to his wife about important things, and need to be continuously working together about some of those more long-term, future-focused things that the man's heading towards. The mother's so involved here in this space, very close to her, where she's with the baby and doing all that really immediate stuff, that the man kind of gets left thinking about the longer-term things often on his own. And the couple, it's a really good place for the couple to stay connected with that, is that they can actually sort of think about that and talk about the future if they haven't already.
Guy, thank you so much for your input. You know, what I'm hearing here mostly is communication, and don't let anything be a surprise.
Yeah.
You know, I think sometimes we can be so frightened of our own emotions and how it's going to land on the ears of our partner that we tend to hold back and not really say what we think or we feel. And that's what actually lands up costing us the relationship in the end. So thank you so much for your input, and thank you so much for your advice. And I'm sure that Heidi is sitting at her telly watching the show thinking, yeah, I got something out of that. So thank you very, very much. You've been very generous with your time. We really appreciate it.
Thanks, and great to speak to you again.
So stay tuned on the show, because we're actually going to invite one of our team onto the couch with me. This particular person, her name's Min. She's not only one of my dearest and nearest friends, but she's also recently had a bubba. So we're going to talk to her from a woman's point of view of what it's like to be able to have a little one, but then also deal with some of the challenges that take place in a relationship that's relatively new in and of itself. So stay tuned. Don't go anywhere. And we're going to invite Min on the couch in just a second. Welcome back. And help me welcome back to the couch, Min. Thanks for joining us, my love.
My pleasure.
So we wanted to get Min to the couch today to talk about her experiences. Because there's one thing we've spoken about, because we're really great friends, and Min's also one of our production team, or she's actually the head of our production team. But Min's in a relatively modern relationship. And the question that I had around that is, you know, like families, babies, getting married, being in relationships, all of that, it's a really traditional sort of a model. You know, it's been going on for many eons and generations. But in today's society, relationships are not quite so traditional. Relationships have really changed. You know, we've got the woman who's working and usually quite successful, and we've got men, you know, quite successful, and the whole going from double income, no kids, to having kids. And then, you know, scenarios like yours and similarly to mine, I guess a little bit, in that our partners are either younger or older than us. And over here, she's got herself a little toy boy, let me tell you. Yeah, you'd all be very jealous. I just have to say, you would all be very, very jealous.
I don't build him up too much.
But like, if you look at it from a classic point of view, in today's society, a relationship is not traditional anymore. I mean, if you look at yourselves, you've got Grant, who's, you know, working, and he's young, and he's really just starting out in life. And there's you, who's a little bit more
old.
I was going to say a little bit more mature. But, you know, you've already established a lot of your success, and you've built a lot of your foundations to your life. Mm-hmm. And now you guys have, you've been in a relationship for a couple of years, and you've fallen pregnant and had your little man. And how old is your little boy now? How old?
16 months.
He's 16 months. Mm-hmm. So with a 16-month-old, how has that changed the dynamic in your relationship from when you and Grant first met each other and it was all sparks and fireworks? Because I remember her telling me she's a tart, and I remember her telling me all about the day that they met, and then, or the week, the month, the couple of, well, the first year. Am I revealing too much? Am I crossing the boundary of best friend to interviewer?
I was ready.
So how has it changed for you guys? I mean, for how your relationship was in the beginning, because it's not a normal traditional relationship. So how has it been?
And I think the point that it's not a traditional relationship is actually really important, because we don't really have anything else to go off. So like, both of our families are actually very traditional. So I had a stay-at-home mum, and my dad was the breadwinner, and that's how it was in my family, and I loved that. So that's not a model I necessarily wanted to go away from, but because I did love that upbringing. Grant's family is very traditional as well. So we've both, our parents are all still together.
Yeah.
Our son Smith has both grandparents still married. So in today's day and age, you know, that is quite the traditional model. And then you have Grant and myself, who are completely different to that.
Yeah.
So to go back to what Guy Vickers said about, you look at your family of origin as a point of reference, we did do that, but ours was so different. Mm-hmm. We really had to create a whole new what this thing called family meant for us.
And that would have been really challenging for you guys, because all kind of happened quite suddenly when you fell pregnant, and you're in two different stages in your life. Mm-hmm. So with what Grant wants to create for himself, he's, you know, building his career, and you're at the other side where you're old. And but there's two different maturity levels there, and two different ideas in terms of what you guys actually probably would have wanted for the rest of your life at that stage.
Yeah.
How did you guys get a meeting of the minds?
Well, I think the important thing was that in our relationship, we were instantly a meeting of the minds in terms of how we operate as individuals. So we're both very driven.
You are. That's very true. Both of you are
very good communicators. We both pretty much say it how it is. So there wasn't a lot of holding it back when it came to
very true.
And we both really value family. And the big change for us was that we had actually already discussed, even though our relationship was only 6 months in, we had already discussed children. And I didn't think that I could actually have them from previous experience. So we had already discussed the fact that if this actually did last, against the odds, because of our age, and we actually did live in different geographic locations as well. So we had the long distance thing as well. Because of all of that, if this did last, we probably would not be having children.
Right.
And so then bang, next thing, we're having a child. And so and our reactions to that, and I hope Grant's okay with me saying this, but our reactions actually were quite different because, as you said, I'm in my late 30s, not the, you know,
not that, that you look at over 21. 21, everybody, 21, 21.
So I'm in my late 30s. Grant is in his early 20s. So as you said, he is now, but he was very successful in his hometown, in his career. So he had to make huge decisions about that and what this meant for him. And I was so super surprised at having a child. And I actually naturally fell in love with the idea.
Yeah.
So I was naturally in love with the idea. I don't know if that's an age thing or whatever, because previously it wasn't.
Yeah, it was never something that we'd even. I mean, I think I always knew that you would be a mum one day, but it was never something that was immediately on your radar.
Mm. And I never knew that.
Right.
I never knew or thought I would be a mum one day.
So you never did.
No, I loved being everybody's favourite auntie, and I'm maternal when it came to other people's children.
Yeah.
But I actually couldn't imagine one of my own. So the adjustment phase, we did go through a period that we had so many questions to answer for a start, but even just emotionally, we were in different places. Grant was happy, and so he was struggling with the, this is amazing. We had already decided that we were committed to each other and that this was long term and that anything that would stop that we would jump. So at least we'd had that conversation and obviously we'd had the children conversation as well, but we thought the outcome was very different. So
you had some help, didn't you? I mean, you had a midwife who came into the story with you and helped you and Grant get on the same page, which I think a lot of people don't have before they have children.
Mm.
So what sort of things did she work with you on to make sure that you and Grant would actually, you know, be surfing the same wave when little Smith came along?
And I think that's the main listening to Guy, what he spoke about being very open before you have the baby was the success factor for us. I don't in any way, shape or form think that we've got it 100% right. I still think he should suck it up sometimes and he thinks I should suck it up sometimes. However, for everything that traditionally goes against us, I think so far we are doing amazingly well. And that I do put down to the preparation that went into having the baby. So I'm not sure because I haven't experienced the opposite, but a new relationship may actually be a benefit for us because we're actually still both very mindful of the other person and how they feel. So I really embraced that that Grant might feel different about things than I would. Maybe if I had been married for 15 years, I would maybe be overthinking about what he feels about these things. I'm not sure because I can't compare the two scenarios. Yeah. But the number one thing that Mary did for us on a very, and that's our midwife, on a very practical level, she gave us a questionnaire, which we filled out probably 4 weeks before we gave birth. And that questionnaire went through the logistics of having a baby.
So nappy changes,
baths, looking after them, going and buying the milk.
Yeah.
What role would we logistically play? Sometimes, always, you know, on a medium from always to never.
Right.
We had that conversation. So I knew before I gave birth, or we gave birth, that Grant really was never going to change a dirty nappy. But I knew that. So afterwards, when there was a dirty nappy to be changed, I just naturally changed it. There was no resentment over why won't you change this dirty nappy. And I never made it mean Grant doesn't love our baby, Grant's not helping me, because I knew.
That's got to be the key factor, I think. That's got to be a huge contributing factor to the smooth running of a home once the little one comes along, because if you don't know, you are going to make meaning of it.
And you don't talk about it.
That's exactly right.
If if you don't talk about, how do you know? So I knew before Smith was born that bath time was fun time in Grant's mind.
Right.
So now if I am feeling overwhelmed at that time of the day, I leave bath time.
Yeah.
And Grant does bath time.
Yeah.
And in saying that, I also run a business. So I have actually never stopped working.
Yeah.
So there had to be, regardless of whether or not he didn't want to do anything, we made the choice that we would both continue working. So that meant we had to communicate around what that would mean to help me out. And we had also agreed that I would play the predominant parenting role in the first 12 months.
And would that have happened naturally? I think about my brother who's had kids and he said that, you know, having his kids was the most life-changing experience for him. And him and his wife were really young. I think they were around 23 or 24 when they first had their littlies. And it was the most life-changing experience. And I remember when Joel was born, he was the most, you know, the most beautiful little creature that ever came into the world. And it was like everybody's eyes just got stars in them, you know. And I watched my brother just turn into this doting, devoted, protective, all-consumed male, which, of course, he's my brother. You know, we used to ride go-karts up and down the road. We never really, you know, I never saw him that way. So I saw this huge change in him and the way that he related to his son. And then, of course, his second son came along. And obviously that would have made different changes in his relationship as well.
Mm-hmm.
When it comes to the relationship, how has having a baby changed the connection between you two as a couple?
Mm-hmm. So what Guy said is 100% correct in that you physically, even if not emotionally, have somebody between you. And I have turned out to be a very different mother to how I imagined that I would be.
Oh.
And I let Smith sleep in our bed. And I prefer, it's actually my preference versus Smith's preference. Apparently there's a term called attachment parenting. So I'm going with that because that's what
work it, baby, work it.
So physically there is now a baby or another individual in our life. And
right.
So whether that's right or wrong according to the textbooks, it's what feels right for me and as a result of communication for us as a family.
Right.
However, that was a challenge for Grant. You know, that was a challenge that there was someone between us. And Smith will physically, if we hug, and we are very, we love to hug, we are a very connected couple, which I love that Smith gets to see.
Yeah.
But Smith will actually physically divide us.
Oh, he crawls in between you and pushes you apart, does he?
He will even stomp on our heads.
Oh, my goodness, cheeky little monkey.
So when Guy says, there is someone between you. There is physically someone between
literally,
you.
Literally. He's not just talking figuratively.
Yeah. And so I didn't really realise the impact because I agree I was about Smith and myself and Smith and my work and what this meant to me. And, of course, Grant was coping.
Well, you just expect he can fend for himself.
Until he started saying jokes.
Yeah.
And I think it was the jokes, and I don't know if that's me being a little older and
you're reading into the joke that there could be something serious
but
in that.
You know, the jokes that started happening about, you know, you care about Smith more than me, it's all about Smith. And I've spoken, and so that made me bring it up and say, okay, is this actually an issue? Which may have been the first time that Grant went, yes, this is actually something that is happening for me. So then we talked about that.
But how amazing that he actually had the courage to talk to you about it rather than to think, well, you know, she's going to hate me if I say that. You know, I should be just as committed and be okay with having this person in between us. Because I wonder if men actually do feel like that. They see the way that the woman is with the baby and they think they should be the same. And then because they're not, it's different for them. And then there's no communication about it because they feel like maybe they're wrong.
And I think we had a breastfed baby, and so Grant is even more useless.
Love that, Grant. We love you. We love you.
But the father is more useless in that situation
yes.
because some of my friends that have had babies that have been bottle fed, the husband can get up at 2 a.m. and he can go and get the bottle, and the wife does not even have to, or the mother does not even have to wake up. So he can have that bond. Whereas with a breastfed baby, they're there, they're in your arms, this connection is what you share. And it's amazing. I found it personally amazing. So I've noticed a huge difference in Grant's relationship with Smith since Smith has been walking, talking, kind of 12 months.
Yeah.
Now they're buddies. And so he has a different relationship with Smith than I do, and the three of us are a team. That's what we've built for ourselves. So we're a team. And that's just what works for us. I'm not advocating that. That's just what works for us.
That's so cute. And honestly, Smith is the cutest, fattest, little, pudgiest little number. He is too sweet for words. And I can definitely see that between the three of you. And I can see Grant is very, very playful, and he's very, you know, like he's a bloke's bloke, and he's very playful with Smith. But, you know, to see the three of you together, that the team word absolutely sums you up beautifully, because he's definitely yours and Smith is definitely yours and you're definitely theirs, and it's a real beautiful interplay of a modern relationship that doesn't fit the whole stereotypical tradition, which I think is what's made today's conversation so vital and so crucial, because I would dare say that most marriages and relationships and families, there's nothing traditional about them anymore. We're all trying to do the best that we can with what we have in a society that is demanding now different expectations of women and different expectations of men in relationships. So thanks for joining us, my love.
My pleasure.
Very cool. Thanks for telling us your story. So hopefully you found today's episode a little bit insightful for you. If you've got children or you've got a family, you know, whatever you have, it's normal. And I think that that's the real big key, is it's not normal, it's my normal. It's your normal, it's whatever works best for you. So let us know your thoughts on today's episode, and make sure that you post your comments on our Facebook page. And if you've got any questions for Min, Smith or Grant, knock yourselves out, go for it. If you want to know how old he is, put that question in the Facebook page. So it's allthews.facebook.com/Karen's Couch, or you can post on our website at allthews.karenscouch.com. Join us here next week for Karen's Couch, and we're going to bring you something amazing. Download your podcast from iTunes and give us a 5-star rating. We're going to see you then. Bye for now.